Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Welcome to our online service. We're so glad that you're here with us. If this is your first time joining us, we invite you to fill in our online connect card so that we can connect with you and you can find out more about our church. A quick reminder before we begin is we have communion today, so prepare your elements as we begin our worship services together. A few words of announcements. The first thing is, last week we held a special service called Before Jericho. We gave you an update about our status for reopening live worship services, which is going to happen in October. And as of this moment right now, we are recruiting servants, or priests as we call them last week, to serve in the church when we reopen. And if you would like to sign up to serve on a serving team, you can fill in this very simple sign-up form on the screen, and it will take you maximum 3 minutes. A special mention, if you have a passion for worshiping in music, singing, or playing instruments to worship, we invite you to sign up to serve in the music team. We welcome people of different musical backgrounds to serve, and we'll certainly provide you with training to prepare you to serve in our services. And as always, if you have any questions at all about any of the serving teams, feel free to contact us through the Connect card, and we really look forward to serving with you in October. On a similar note, as we are beginning to prepare for our reopening, we'll be making a change to our online service time starting in September. As you know, when we reopen for in-person worship, we'll be hosting them on a Saturday morning as opposed to a Sunday morning in Fraserview Church. And so in order to better allow us to prepare and adjust for the Saturday morning worship time, we'll be moving this online service from Sunday, which is now, to Saturday morning as well. We're going to be releasing these online services on Saturday morning. And so we encourage you, starting in September, to begin this adjustment. Join us in worship on Saturday morning as opposed to Sunday morning. And all the times and the details of all the services you can find on the screen, which also includes Cantonese service, Kapos service, and youth service. That's all I have for the announcements today. We're going to invite you now to stand as we begin to prepare for praise and worship. Let's stand and let's pray together. Today, as we begin our service, I'm going to read a passage from the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah describes God our Father like this. He says, "The Lord is the everlasting God. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He sits above the circle of the earth, and he stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in." And Isaiah says, "Lift up your eyes and look at all these. Who brought out the stars? It is God who brought out the stars. It is God also who calls the stars by name. And by God's greatness and his might and his power, not one of the stars is missing. God does not faint or grow weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Because even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And today I want to pray for those who feel like they're weary, who feel like they're going through a time where they have no strength, or you're just simply exhausted mentally, physically, or emotionally, or even spiritually. I want to pray for you, and I want to let you know that God knows. His understanding is unsearchable, and he certainly knows the status of your life. And as we meditate on the greatness of our God today, and as we praise him and wait for him, his blessing to you is this, that he will give strength to the weary. He will renew your strength so that you may run for him and not be weary, and you can walk and not faint. And may you receive God's power and his strength today, as we praise him and listen to his word. Amen.
This is my Father's word. To my listening ears, all nature sings and rises. should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, and let earth be glad. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let earth be glad. The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let earth be glad. The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let us be glad. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do.
Forever, all my days, hallelujah.
soul with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still, know you are God. I will be still, know you are God. I will be still, know you are God.
Church, we have a God who is always in control. We have a God who is a good Father. Why don't we respond to Him and pray back to Him with the Lord's Prayer? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, you may be seated.
Can I not pray out loud? I don't know how to pray. I've never prayed in public in my whole life. I'm sure you have heard this conversation when you join a prayer meeting or maybe you pray in small groups. As a pastor, yes, I have heard such comments a lot among people. And usually my feedback is that, oh, well, I understand, but I'll encourage that person. Just think about how baby learn to talk. Every time the parents speak something to the baby, they would start picking up maybe words or phrase. They would then repeat the word and phrase from their parents, and by listening, by trying, they would start their first word, maybe 12 months or maybe 15 months. And praying is just the same. When we began our Christian journey, we listen how others pray. Perhaps it's the worship leader on the stage, or maybe it's your small group leaders, or maybe it's the Sunday school teacher, or maybe your pastor. Actually, for the past few decades, countless Christian authors have written about how to pray. And I can just share with you a few titles. For example, in the late 19th century, Andrew Murray wrote With Christ in the School of Prayer, which is a classic. In the early 90s, With Open Hands was written by Henry Nouwen. In the early 90s, another classic, Oswald Chambers, published Prayer, A Holy Occupation. And it's around the same decade, Richard Foster wrote yet another book on prayer. And besides learning to pray from a contemporary Christian author, we can also learn to pray from all the heroes, men and women from the Bible. For example, Moses, Daniel, Nehemiah, the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, even the Apostle Paul, just to name a few. And of course, we can also learn from King David, who wrote a lot of Psalms, which many of them are actually prayers. But however, if I know someone, maybe a brother, who just came to know the Lord, who is really eager to learn about praying, the first prayer master I would recommend would be Jesus. And among the many prayers recorded in the Bible, which is spoken by Jesus, I would first recommend this brother to start with one prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer. You may ask why. Why the Lord's Prayer? Because this prayer includes quite a lot of important elements in our Christian growth. The name of God, the kingdom of God, the will of God, our basic needs, the most challenging situation between our interpersonal relationship, and even it mentioned about attack from the enemy, and spiritual warfare was mentioned as well. And that is why a biblical scholar once said, the arc of the prayer spans the whole of cosmic reality with its height and depth. The ark of prayer spans the whole of cosmic reality with its height and depth. Wow, this is a great reminder that the Lord's Prayer is really rich in content. But maybe you will say, wait a minute, but for some of us, among us in our congregation, especially those who were growing up from a Christian family, or you have been to Awana for many years, or maybe you were in Christian school, our impression about this the Lord's Prayer could be very different, right? Perhaps you have been reciting this prayer since you were grade 2, grade 3 maybe. And after all these years, it has become a routine. Well, you know every line, you know every word of this prayer, but there's nothing excited to when you recite or memorize it. And perhaps you would also ask, is this Lord's Prayer thing still relevant to us? We are living in 2021 already, right? For people living in Richmond, when we can get expensive sushi all the time, when we can enjoy bubble waffle or pineapple bun all the time, when new bubble tea store is opening almost every quarter for the past year, why do we still need to pray, give us this day our daily bread? The Lord's Prayer, a prayer which is recorded 2,000 years ago. Does this prayer still speak to our context? What is the meaning of reciting the Lord's Prayer in 2021? What's the meaning of it? And if you have similar question, listen, you are at the right place. For the next today and 5 more weeks, the next 6 weeks, we will be walking through the Lord's Prayer together. And we'll also be exploring why. This Lord's Prayer is not just the best starting point for every Christian, but also is a lifelong practice that leads us into spiritual maturity. It's not just a starting point like a prayer 101 for new Christian only, but it is also a lifelong practice for spiritual maturity. So let's stay tuned and we'll check it out together. When we read the gospel in details, actually you will find out the Lord's Prayer did not just record it once, but actually it was recorded twice in two very different settings. Jesus used the Lord's Prayer to teach his disciples how to pray, but in very different settings. The first occasion was at Matthew chapter 6, which is within the Sermon on the Mount. The context of Matthew 6 is really crucial because right before Jesus taught his disciples, he was teaching on the attitude about praying. And before Jesus teach them the Lord's Prayer, Jesus was particularly mentioning two incorrect attitudes about praying. In Matthew 6:5, it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." The first incorrect attitude that was mentioned by Jesus was praying out of pride or praying out of self-righteousness. All this person mentioned in this scripture, one, is praise or reward from people. And this is why this type of prayer was performed in public rather than praying to God. I think we will define it as a performance, right? And I'm sure when someone is praying like this, God will notice. But God did not just look at the outward actions. God also noticed what is hidden in this person's heart. And this is why James Mulholland pointed out that prayer is a window to the human heart and mind. The prayer we recite reveals more about us than about God. They often expose our selfishness and our misconceptions about God. So dear brothers and sisters, how is your prayer life? And does your prayer reflect any misconception about God? The second incorrect attitude mentioned by Jesus is praying out of superstition. You would say, what? Superstition? Let's take a look. Matthew 6, 7 to 8. And when you pray, not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles go, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. The person praying was not totally sure what he is praying. When this person prays, he's not even sure if that God is listening to his prayer. So all this person was trying is to just keep talking, just keep babbling, just keep using empty phrases, many words, and hope that maybe a particular phrase will match. Just like if you forgot your password, you just keep on trying different passwords, and hopefully one of them will hit it, and then bingo. So when a person prays like this, he simply have no idea what he is doing or who he's following. He's simply praying out of superstition. And after Jesus mentioned these two types of incorrect attitude, Jesus continued. Verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Matthew 6, 9 is important because it tells us that the Lord's Prayer is not just a random prayer Jesus gave out just out of nowhere. The Lord's Prayer is actually responding, as what we mentioned, to the two incorrect prayer attitudes. From verse 5 to verse 8 in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus reminded us prayer is not a performance. It is not about using the right formula to move God. Prayer is not about manipulating God. Dear brothers and sisters, behind the claim that, oh, well, we don't know how to pray, we don't know, we are too shy, stuff like that, right? There is an assumption that knowing how to pray means that, oh, I know what I'm going to say. I know all the prayer jargons. When I start praying, I'll give a beautiful speech. Everyone around will be impressed. But let's sit back and think. Have we actually missed the point? Praying with all the beautiful words does not mean that you really know how to pray. Even though you might be praying in tears, even if your attitude is not correct. If you pray out of pride, out of performance, out of superstition, if all your concern is to get what you want from God, you still don't know how to pray. So our key question for this series is, what does it mean to pray according to the will of God? How did Jesus teach his disciples about praying? And are there any indicators when we know that we have mastered praying? Yes, we'll take today and the next 5 weeks to tackle all these questions. So sit tight and stay tuned. And now, let's move from Matthew 6 to Luke 11. In Luke chapter 11, we find another occasion when Jesus used the Lord's Prayer to teach the disciples about praying. Luke 11, chapter 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Looks familiar, right? But it's a very different setting. From Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we were told about a context. Luke mentioned that Jesus was actually praying in a certain place, which means that it is not just a random occasion. Even Jesus, sometimes he planned for his own prayer retreat, right, just like here. And if we pay attention to the context of this conversation, we would notice that this teaching happens right after Jesus finished his own prayer retreat, which implies that what Jesus taught about prayer at this occasion has captured what Jesus have just prayed to God. So there is a very different context than the one that we just studied. And we now know why the Lord's Prayer is more than just a routine prayer for the beginners. The Lord's Prayer is actually a window into Jesus' heart and mind when he chat with his Father. The Lord's Prayer is a window into Jesus' heart and mind when he chat with the Father. And that is why, at the beginning of this Lord's Prayer, Jesus did not say, "God, hallowed be your name." Instead, he started with a special address, Father. Father, hallowed be your name. But why Father? This is exactly how Jesus himself addressed God. And actually, Jesus has given us the relationship he has with the Father. He wants the disciples to take one more step. Come, Peter, call him Father. Come, James and John, call him Father. The essence of Jesus' earthly ministry was to bring us, the sinners, into the Father's family. Just as what John wrote in John chapter 1. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Originally, none of us belonged to this family, but we were adopted with a huge price so that we become a member of God's family. And as new members of this family, shouldn't we learn from how to live a different life? How to be sons and daughters? How to communicate with the Father? And shouldn't we be learned from Jesus, who is the eldest son in this family? So here, Jesus invites us. Let's go back to the basic. Let's learn about praying to God. And let's start from addressing God. Come, follow me, and call him Father. Let's call him Father. When you got this point, I'm sure the way you pray will be turned upside down. When God becomes our Father, our attitude should change completely. We're no longer praying to an unknown God, but the Heavenly Father of Jesus. Were you still trying to ask this loving Father to love you more, to treat you better, and to pay more attention to your needs? You don't have to, because he's already the loving Father. Just like mom and dad always love the baby. Mom and dad always take care of the baby. Mom and dad know the needs of the baby. And if earthly parents know how to take care of the kids, don't you think that our Heavenly Father would treat his beloved children much, much better? Jesus said, "Since you have already joined my family, just follow me and call God our Father." Of course, things might be different if you are always a street kid. Just imagine. You have never experienced what is being cared by someone. You never experienced what is being loved. And perhaps your first reaction would be, "Wow, I become a special kid, you know, in this family. It's finally my turn to be rich, to have everything. As long as I please this new father, well, I will have everything. Hey, perhaps I can ask him to give me $3 million to buy a huge mansion. Or perhaps I can ask him to give me a new credit card so I can start my shopping, you know, everywhere." Perhaps it would be our reaction. If we never experienced love, care, or protection, when we first come to this family without any security, we will grab as much as we can, and as and we don't know how long we're going to stay like this. But think about what Jesus teaches. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Until we hear how God's only begotten Son pray to His Father, until we see how the Son left all the splendor in heaven and came to this world. He did not live in any palace. He did not buy any homes, mansions. He did not do any crazy shopping with His dad's credit card. There's only one thing Jesus brought from heaven to earth, which is His relationship with God the Father, the relationship. When Jesus prayed, there's only one purpose. He wants to draw near to His Father. And through prayer, Jesus seeks to align with His Father's will. Until we hear how the Son pray to the Father in total trust and dependence, we would understand how being loved is like, how being treasured is like. What does it mean to be secure? And this is exactly what means by being children of God. So, what is the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer is about learning from the only Son who is in the bosom of the Father how to relate to God. The Lord's Prayer is about learning from the only Son who is in the bosom of the Father how to relate to God, drawing near to the Father, aligning with the Father's heart, and trusting the Father. And in such a loving relationship, we find true satisfaction from God. So in this morning, let's try to follow Jesus and talk to God in Jesus' language. Dear Father, hallowed be Your name. Jesus is saying to us, yes, that's right. Let's try one more time. Follow Me and let's say together, Father, Father, hallowed be Your name. And after we understand the context and the background about the Lord's Prayer, let's really dive into the first petition of this prayer. Father, hallowed be Your name. Father, hallowed be Your name. Let's first explore about His name, God's name. I'm sure if you have been in church for a while, you already know that in Old Testament, the name of God is Jehovah. And you probably think that, well, that is no big deal. Everyone has a name. Some people have middle name or even a nickname as well. So what? From Ada to Benjamin to Catherine, from Xavier to Yvonne to Zoe. So God's name is Jehovah. There's no big deal. If this is the case, does hallowed be Your name simply means that we want God to be more famous, more popular? Of course, there should be more. And actually, behind a name, there's a lot more than just a few alphabets. Let me give you an example. When I mention this guy, Donald Trump, what would you have in mind? Perhaps you'll recall the decision he made as president. Perhaps you recall his Twitter messages almost every day. Perhaps some of us will remember his famous slogan, making the America great again. Or maybe you remember some historical meetings, him with other international leaders, like Kim Jong-un from North Korea or the Russian president. Or you might recall all the sexual misconduct and allegations against him. Depending on whether you are Republican or Democrat, every time this name is mentioned, I'm sure there will be a lot of emotion. Someone might curse him and never want him to return to the White House. But some others must still cheer for him and pray that he will return and win the 2024 election. Donald Trump, yes, it is just a name, but based on all the reaction that we have mentioned, it is actually more than just a name. Yes, a name is more than just a name. A name carries much more than just a few alphabets. It encompasses a person's character, temperament, moral worthiness, integrity, words and deeds, achievements, reputation, goals, and promises. And on a less drastic note, perhaps you can also think of some other names. How about Mother Teresa? Maybe Queen Elizabeth? Or maybe the name of your favorite soccer coach when you were in elementary school, or maybe your favorite high school teacher. Yes, actually a name is more than just a name. And therefore, as we talk about the name of God, it is more than just a few alphabets. If you mention the name of God to any Israelites in the Old Testament, I'm sure they would definitely recall a lot of stories and incidents. The Passover, the Exodus story, the Red Sea moment, the pillar of fire and clouds, the manna God gave them from heaven, the day they crossed the Jordan River, the day when the walls of Jericho was crumbled, etc., etc. Depends on whether you are Israelite or Egyptian or Canaanite. Whenever the name of God, Jehovah, is mentioned, there will be a lot of emotions. Either you would love the name very much or you would hate it. In Exodus 13, there was an interesting conversation between Moses and God. Exodus 33, chapter 33, 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." And Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord." When we look carefully at what Moses said here in Exodus 33, "Please show me your glory," Moses said. And what did God answer Moses? "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim before you my name." The moment when the name of God is proclaimed, His glory was revealed. And let's take a closer look at how the name of God is being proclaimed. Exodus 34, verse 4. "So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first. And he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And then the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" Dear brothers and sisters, this is the full name of Jehovah God, which is much more than just a few alphabets, right, as we just read. A name is never just a bunch of alphabets. It encompasses a person's character, temperament, integrity, words or deeds, reputation, goals and promises. Okay, so after we understand what's behind God's name, let's explore the rest of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed. What does this phrase mean? It means that since God is in full power and love, since He is a God of grace and mercy, who frees us from bondage, who ransoms us from sin, we truly pray that His name will be known among everyone. His name will be lifted the highest above every other name. And we want to see that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And on the contrary, do you know what's the opposite of hallowed be God's name? In the Bible, the opposite of hallowed be God's name would mean that the name of God is being profaned and blasphemed. As for God, God for sure takes His name very seriously, much more than any one of us. God will not allow His name being blasphemed. And do you know why the name of God is being profaned in the Bible? And what caused the name of God to be profaned? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. This is how God talked to His people. Ezekiel chapter 36. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus say the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nation to which you came. In this passage, God said that the holy name has actually been profaned, not by others, but sadly by the Israelites. It was what the Israelites did among the nations that caused God's name to be profaned. And God continues that, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. What Jesus was praying in the Lord's Prayer actually is what God is thinking right here. Hallowed be your name. God, I pray that your name will never be profaned because of the sinful disobedience of your people. So therefore, as we take a closer look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus did not teach us to pray that, God, let us help you to hallow your name. Let us help you to reclaim justice. Let us help you to whatever is going wrong, that I can help God, you know, to turn it right. No, Jesus did not teach us to pray like this. Instead, Jesus' prayer was built on Ezekiel 36. Lord, I know only you can vindicate the holiness of your great name. Only you are able to hallow your own name. Only you can reclaim your name. Only you are able to reveal your own power. Only you can show the great mercy and love. Only you are able to deliver us from the sin and bondage. Only you can lift your name on high. Only you are able to make every knee bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So, our prayer today is that let's make it so. Let's make it happen. Yes, Lord, go ahead, do it, because only you can do it. So here, you can sense that there's a sense of urgency. Oh, Father, make your name be hallowed. Lord, only you can do it. Only you. And this is why, just like what I mentioned earlier in this message, we acknowledge that the Lord's Prayer is not just the best starting point to learn to pray. The Lord's Prayer is actually a lifelong practice that help us to go deeper and lead us into spiritual maturity. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying with a sense of urgency. We ask God Almighty to do something only He can accomplish. And as sons and daughters of this Heavenly Father, if we notice that God's name is being blasphemed, how would you react? Will you just feel nothing or stay neutral? That's impossible. So as children of God, let's really take God's name serious. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, let's not forget the sense of urgency. And before we conclude, let me suggest three spiritual practices for you to take home. Number one, reciting the prayer. If you haven't done so, let's really try to recite the Lord's Prayer. Once you memorize this prayer, you will have one more tool that God can use to shape your heart. Once you have memorized the prayer, it becomes portable and it will travel anywhere with you. So I encourage you to make good use of this coming 5-6 weeks to learn, to memorize, and to recite the Lord's Prayer. The second practice is using the Lord's Prayer to pray, just like what Jesus taught. But since it's about shaping our heart, I would encourage you to take it slowly. For example, since the Lord's Prayer has 6 different petitions, if you have half an hour, for example, you can pray over each petition in 5 minutes, for example. And if you have the whole weekend, I can suggest you can pray over the first 3 petitions on Saturday morning, afternoon, and evening. And then you can pray over the last 3 petitions on Sunday, similarly, morning, afternoon, and evening. And some people even suggest that if you have a whole week, you can pray over the Lord's Prayer in a week, from Monday all the way to Saturday. You go through 1 petition per day. And then on the 7th day, you pray over the whole Lord's Prayer. No matter which path you choose, the main point is, do not rush. Just let the Lord's Prayer to shape your spiritual life slowly. 1 phrase, 1 petition at a time. Lastly, we need to connect the Lord's Prayer to our real world. And based on what we have learned today, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, how can we, as Jesus' follower in Vancouver, how can we pray to the Father about hallowed be your name? At this moment, may I invite you to stand. And let's bow down and let me lead you to pray and seek the Father together. Dear Father, for the past few weeks, we have heard too many sad stories about the residential schools. We are sad, not just because it was part of the Canadian history, but because churches were involved in operating many of those schools. Oh Lord, we acknowledge that this part of our Canadian history was full of violence, negligence, pain, separation, and even death. Lord, your name is being profaned on this land. As more and more details and truth are disclosed, we feel more sad. We feel even more helpless. Lord, we know this evil deed is simply too huge. And as your followers, we know there's so much that needs to be done, but we feel powerless, we feel helpless. So Father, only you are able to bring healings. Only you are able to undo all the wrongs. And only you are able to vindicate the holiness of your great name. So Lord, glorify your name. Let people in this land truly know you. You are truly the one who is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You are also the one who will reveal all truth, who will bring justice to every case, who will not let guilty people go without punishment. And Lord, we pray for that one day when you will bring renewal and restoration to the whole creation. We look forward to that day when people from every nation, all tribes, people, and languages, including the indigenous people in our land, will be standing before the throne, praising you in your language. Lord, let your name be glorified and lead us to become agents of reconciliation in this land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The word of Christ passed down through generations. The Son of God teaching us to pray. Savior and our deliverer, have mercy on us. Shine your light on us. awake our heart, awake our soul. Let us turn to you from the darkness. Heal us, restore us, and renew us. May your name be glorified. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Church, please be seated.
Yes, Jesus is the one who leads us from the valley of temptation. He is the one who delivers from the evil one. As we gather to celebrate communion this Sunday, we're proclaiming Christ's death until he comes again in glory. This communion is open to all who have professed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took a cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do that in often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's partake the cup and the bread together. As we conclude today's worship, let me encourage you to support and participate in the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. As we begin the journey of learning about Lord's Prayer, let me bless you with the blessing from the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. That concludes this Sunday's worship. Go in peace, and I'll see you next Sunday.